What a great group of songs sung to the Lord today. Boy, tremendous praises to Him. And, you know, when we walk with Him, our life is a song to God. I mean, He hears those notes of whatever is going on in our hearts of thanks to Him. Might be a big thanks, might be a cry for help, whatever is happening, that He hears that and responds and takes great initiative in our lives. We're thankful to Him. When we think of different things happening in terms of our attitude, I heard a story a number of times that I think is real indicative of how our attitude of abiding in Christ can make a real difference in reaching out to people around us. And a story of a man in a U-Haul, let's say he's going from Brownsville to Greenville, and he stops at a yard where a man is mowing his lawn and says, "Hey, how much longer until I get to Greenville?" And the man says, 5 miles. And the man in the U-Haul says, "Well, what kind of people are in Greenville? Could you tell me about that?" And he says, "Well," the man in the yard says, "Well, that depends. What kind of people were in Brownsville?" And the man in the truck said, "Oh, they were ungrateful. They were no good. They were negative. They were cranky. And I'm moving to get away from all that. Down to Greenville." And the man in the yard said, "Well, sorry to disappoint you. You're going to find the same kind of people in Greenville that you find in Brownsville." And so off he goes, and another U-Haul pulls up, and same routine, asks the man in the front yard, "Hey, moving from Brownsville to Greenville, what kind of people are in Greenville?" "Well, it depends. What kind of people did you find in Brownsville?" "Oh, they were helpful, they were hardworking, they were hearty, they were, you know, just a lot of love and goodness that God was doing all around them." And the man said, "Yeah, same kind of people you're going to find in Greenville that you find in Brownsville." And God's word lets us know that what's in our hearts, the attitude or position of our hearts toward Christ, really does influence how we see life and how we see the people made in God's image, who Christ loves, all around us. And so our attitude often determines our outlook on life. And if your heart is not filled with God, you'll only see garbage and sin. That's all you'll see. But if your heart is filled with God, you'll see problems, but you'll see God at work. You'll see a world filled with God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God." And so to wake up to God's presence all around us and in the people that He sends us to, even in a fallen world, in a very broken world in which you and I live, sin is not omnipresent. Sin is not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. So to see Him and to have a heart that abides in Him and seeks Him is what the Lord calls us to. And so we pray a prayer, "Lord, change my attitude from tearing down to building up." It was a part of the calling that the Apostle Paul had in his life. And comes from the Bible passage, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus was in the building ministry, restoring souls back to God, okay, and giving them health where there was no health. And a couple of the prayers we prayed in the past where, "Lord, change my attitude from complaining to being thankful. Lord, change my attitude from contentment to coveting." No, that's opposite. From coveting to contentment. Seeing if you're alert. But what was Jesus' attitude as He came? He came as a servant. He came to empty Himself. He came to obey God. And so our calling in life, to build up, working alongside God, not to tear down. The missionary Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, who had a lot of problems, and he confronted every one of them. They had immorality, they were divisive, they were kind of high on spiritual pride, and he said, "Hey, the Lord sent me to you not to tear you down, but to build you up." That was a part of his mission, to make you stronger in your faith. And Paul told the Ephesians, "When you speak to one another, say only what is helpful for the building up of others or for their edification according to their need." What's a person really need when you relate to them and when you reach out to them? If you took that phrase need, build them up according to their need, and make it an acrostic, you can see some good things that we do on behalf of others. Number one, when we reach out to others or impact them in any way, let the N stand for it's necessary that we do that. We always make a positive or negative push toward the Lord or against Him when we're relating to others. Jesus said that there's no neutral ground with Him. If we don't help Him gather, we scatter. Okay? If we don't have people gather to Christ, then we scatter them away from Christ. So that the need is there. Build people up according to their need. E stands for encourage. When you speak to somebody or relate to them, are you there to encourage them to make their faith stronger in Christ? That's part of your mission. The other E stands for edify. Strengthen them as a person and as a follower of Christ. And then D stands for dignity. The way you reach out to a person or even criticize them, are you adding to their dignity? Are you treating them with the respect that they deserve as somebody created in God's image and somebody for whom Christ died? Building people up. It's needful to encourage, to edify, and to dignify. And God sends us on that mission. Jesus is in the building up business. And that's what He was all about in your life. He said, I will build my people. I will build my church. And He's in the restoration business. Psalm 23 says, the Lord restores my soul. We have a rocking chair in our house that we had a man help restore. Before it was just throw my dirty socks on it. Now it's fit to be sat on. Okay. Restoration of a life. You should say, my life feels like it's wasted in a lot of ways. God can make it priceless. You are priceless because Christ has died for you. So God calls us to build folks up along with Christ, not tear them down. We sin against the Lord when we just tear down what He has created. And that's the dear people, you know, throughout the earth and all our key relationships. Tearing down can take the form of a critical spirit. God can deliver us from that. Even when we're confronting sin, you and I are called to do that, so we're not just saying, let's just build up everything, let's look at everything through rose-colored glasses. That's not the point of Paul's ministry. Paul said, I'll build up. And that's confronting sin. That's a part of it. Confronting sin is always to be done with love and gentleness and for the sake of the other person. Okay, not just to clobber people. Love and gentleness to make stronger. Galatians 6:1 said, if anybody is sinning, you who know the Lord, go restore such a one gently. Do it gently and look to yourself. And someone told me this week, and I hope I always remember it. Wanted to tattoo it on my arm. It would probably be too big to fit. But they said, and if love's not in it, it's not going to work when it comes to confronting sin. If love's not in it, it's not going to work. And that phrase could fit a lot of things that you and I get involved in. You go to work, hey, if love's not in it, it's not going to work. You're not going to be a good worker. Your family life, if love's not in it, it's not going to work. Your ministry God calls you to when God people's gather, if love's not in it, hey, not going to work. God provides that love in our hearts when we trust Christ. His Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts when we believe in Him. A tearing down attitude doesn't bring Christ into the picture, only sees sin in the picture. What else does a tearing down attitude often depict? It depicts a ministry of speck inspection. That is, I'm looking for specks in people's lives, the speck in their eye, as Jesus taught, when I have a log in my own. Jesus said, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own. When I'm tearing down others, what that tells me about my own heart is, I don't want to deal with the sin in my own life. Okay, I'm too overly aggressive in straightening out everybody else. But the Lord would want to work on each of our hearts to get the log out, and then we could reach out and deal with the specks in other people's lives and not have tearing down attitude. Tearing down attitude is also manifests itself often in a tattletale attitude. We all know what a tattletale is. Maybe grew up being one. We grow up the same way sometime. Tattletale Johnny and Mary are home, brother and sister, and Johnny comes in. He's always saying what Mary, all her faults. Mary didn't eat her broccoli. Mary kicked the cat. Mary forgot to make her bed. And parents say, Johnny, hey, thank you for telling me that. Now you go and help Mary make her bed to change the tattletale attitude. Don't be a Christian tattletale. God didn't call you to be the sin police. You just go and blow the whistle on everybody who's out of line. Okay. But he calls you to come and bring news so that a life going away from God and has sin in it can be confronted with the good news and turn and go in the right direction. Not just to tear down, but to build up. When we tear down, we also hurt ourselves, which is a really bad, self-destructive way to live. You know, everybody we meet, a good teacher has said, everybody we meet has an invisible sign on their head that says, I am important to God. That's what the sign says. That's a true sign. And they need to feel that way by the way you and I treat them. I'm important to God. I'm loved by God. When we tear others down, we end up hurting ourselves. Proverbs 26 says, you dig a hole for someone else and you fall into it yourself. And what a sad life. Somebody who has a critical spirit and it just attacks others all the time. Normally, there's not a lot of joy in their life because they're too busy tearing down others all the time. If you tear down your country, you tear down yourself. You tear down your family, you tear down yourself. Tear down a brother and sister in Christ, you attempt to tear down his body. That's his bride. He's very loving of her. I'd like to preach a message in the future with the question, who loves the church? And your name ought to be in there right off the bat. Why? Because Christ loves the church. A lot of us would hesitate. Well, I don't know if I really do. He can give us a heart, not to tear down, but to build up. Tear down a stranger, like tearing down Christ himself. Because Jesus said how we treat a stranger is really how we would treat the Lord. Pretty much the same. And God's word says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that is what we'll reap. You know, so the tendency in our lives to tear down, it's so easy to do. I grew up just that was a part of my language. The faster I could put down the other guy, quicker than he could put down me, I would win. And that was a sinful way to live. And God can deliver us from that. Well, how can we build up others according to their needs, Paul said. First of all, we could build up others with unconditional love, loving people where they're at. That's how Christ got to our heart. He didn't say, clean up your act, and then come and receive me. He said, you come and receive me, and then I'll clean up your heart. And today you might have all kind of struggles in your life. Come to Christ and surrender to him. He'll deal with those things as time goes on. He's faithful. Build up others with unconditional love. This fellow told me a story this week and shared it on Wednesday that a man went to a men's prayer breakfast at Somerset Alliance Church. And you know, he was just glad to be there, get some food and hang around with the guys. And so after the meal, he got out a can of tobacco and he did what people do with cans of tobacco. You take some out and you put it in and you enjoy the post-meal tobacco thing, you know, that some of you struggled with, I'm sure. And so the pastor sees that, and it's right there at the table, and he starts to pray. He says, Lord, I hope nobody says anything to him about that. I hope nobody says anything to him about that. You know, he wants the man to know the friendship of God's people. He wants the man to hear about the Lord before he starts dealing with, you know, the 101 things that might be out of bounds in his life. And so, thankfully, nobody said anything to the guy. He enjoyed his thing. And but as time went on, the man, he turns to Christ. He turns to Christ. He becomes a good servant, you know, to other people, active in the church. And eventually, the Lord helps him with the tobacco thing. The unconditional love of God got to his heart. Would you like to be that kind of Christian? And one of the strengths of Norman Alliance is that there's a tone of that kind of heart for people, no matter what struggle they are having. That is something only God can bring about in our soul. Confrontation of sin, yes. Meeting people with the love of God, yes. And the Bible tells us knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love builds up. So to build up others, start where they're at. Then we build up others by letting God meet their needs through you. What a great thing to think that we're like an arrow in the bow of the Lord. That's how people are described in Psalm 127, any of his children. You know, he's ready to launch you to do some good thing. An arrow in the bow of the Lord. Has God given you a heart for prayer? He'll meet the needs of others through your prayer life. Has God given you a heart for giving? Say, hey, I can give. I love to give. So you hear about a need and you try to meet the need. A heart that understands relationships. And who doesn't struggle with relationships? So you use that. That God would meet a need through you. That, wow, I see how I could be different as a person in terms of relationships, the patience and loyalty and the things I want to show to other people. And God does that. God made you to be a leader, then you lead others. God made you to share the gospel, you do it on behalf of others. Max Lucado tells a story how God used somebody to keep him going in a little trial he was in. He ran the triathlon. That's when you run for so many miles, and then you get on a bike and you ride your bike for so many miles, and then you go swimming for so many miles. You know, only human beings would invent such a thing. See how tough we are, you know. That's the goal. What somebody said, toughness is carrying out your responsibility. But he's in this triathlon. And he's more than halfway through. He comes up to another guy, and he says to the guy, how are you doing? The guy says, I'm not doing too good. This is stupid. This is the dumbest thing I ever did. This stinks. I'm dropping out as soon as I can get to the next water hole. And Max Lucado's hearing all that, and he's thinking, you know, almost persuaded to join this guy. And he said, I wanted to get away from that guy. Because he wasn't helping me accomplish what God had called me to accomplish. And so Lucado keeps going. He comes up to a grandmother who's in her 60s, and she's in the triathlon. And he says, how are you? She says, pretty good. You know, let's keep going. And he says, I don't know if I can make it. And she says, you can make it. You can make it. Let's do this. Let's do this together. Just keep, you know, we're more than halfway home. Just think of the finish line. Just think of the nice popsicle waiting for us or whatever it was going to be. And that encouraged him. The need was met by God through another person. And you could ask yourself, what kind of counsel are you giving people by the way you live? Come on, stay with Christ. Come on, we could follow him together. Come on, he's faithful. He'll walk us through the finish line. He'll help us overcome trials of family life trials and illnesses that loved ones have and all those things. Build up people by letting God meet needs through you. And then great opportunity we all have. Build up people by sharing Christ with them. Probably the greatest privilege we have in some manner, sharing Christ with them. First by how we treat them and then by what we say, the proclamation of the gospel. And God does that through amazing ways. One of the exciting things about, being with a group of Christians is really so many are competent to share Christ with others just by saying, this is how Jesus changed my life. So you're calling in life. You're an ambassador for Christ. We had the old Dan Rooney of the Steelers. He's all excited to be ambassador to Ireland, God bless Ireland, a great country. But you're Christ's ambassador to neighbors in our country, in the world. Wow. What a humbling thing. And then you're a fisher of men. You're a living letter from God. And God uses you in so many ways. Just say, Lord, I'm available. Help me build up others with the gospel. Did you know Christians need to hear the gospel today? Because we get run down and weighed down by legalism and by license. And we think, oh, we'll just kind of float around and not follow the Lord. Oh, believers need the Lord as much as the lost people need the Lord, don't we? Just the fuel of Him, the food of Him. What the gals sang, the living water and the bread of life and the breath of life. When Billy Graham was thinking about what to do with his life, he was taking a walk one day and he said, I don't know what to do, Lord. He's praying, should I be a teacher? Should I be a pastor? Should I be a college professor? And so he's thinking and praying, and he said that these words came to his heart. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And doesn't that, if you know Christ, your heart says, amen, that song's for me. I want to tell of Jesus, the mighty to save, because He can change a life like none other. And He can change our life as we tell it, as we tell the story. And He's great like that. But our mission, like Paul's mission, like Jesus' mission, Jesus said, I will build. Paul said, I will build up. And all of us will say, I with God's help, I will build. Let God build through you. And if you say, I don't know how to build because my life, I'm so weighed down by sin and despair, I don't know what to do. Could you, if you've never turned to Christ, you could say, Lord, I turn to you. I've spent my life tearing down myself and others. And that's going nowhere. Could you come and restore my heart? Rescue me. Be my Savior so I can build up others the way you'd reach out to me, Lord. Turn to the Lord. Go to Him and say, I turn to you. I turn from sin in any form He shows us. And I say, I want to follow and build up as Christ would. He loves those around you intensely. He loves you to get involved in that simple ministry. Would you surrender to Him as He works through you? Let's pray together.